Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, this is Bob Collins. We hope you enjoy the show, and everybody in the morning hopes you have a great holiday season. We'd like to share some of our favorite stories and some Christmas music with you today.
This is Big Twist, and I'm out here at Red Label Recording Studio with all my friends, Coco Taylor, Lonnie Brooks, Gloria Hardeman, Gene Danny G. Barge, and the Mellow Fellows. We're here to tell all our friends and everyone out there, we want to spend Christmas with you. I'd love to spend this Christmas sitting by Christmas, sitting by the fire with you. I'm so happy for this moment. Can we share it the whole year through? Talk to me, Coco.
Thank you. Hi, this is aging radio veteran Tom Peterson, the guy who does the news in the mornings and, oh, occasionally other things too with Bob Collins. And I'd like to just wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I hope your holidays are terrific. You know, this time of the year, we spend some time sitting around and thinking about the great Christmases of the past. And I suppose my all-time favorite was the one where I got my first electric train. And I guess I was about 11 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. And my dad and my brother had made this cool train layout, and they had attached the tracks, and they had green grass and roads and buildings and all that stuff. And being a railroad fan since I was a little kid, this, in fact, was my first railroad to run. And ever since then, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it as a hobby. I, unfortunately, don't have that train anymore, but I sure wish I did. And looking back on it, that was probably one of the greatest gifts I ever got. And I took good care of it for years and years and years. Almost tried to take it to college, but they wouldn't allow me to do that. But anyway, if you look back, those are the memories I have. I'm sure you have a lot, too. And have a good time with your memories and with the holidays this year, and enjoy yourself. And we'll be looking for you, oh, in the next few days in the mornings. And I hope you join us every day, because we're taking attendance. If you're not there, we'll know. We're checking the list twice. Have a great holiday.
Several people have sent me this thing over the internet. It's been going around the internet for, I don't know, several weeks. It's a poem written by a Marine stationed in Okinawa. 'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, and to see just who in this home did live. I looked all about, a strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of a far distant land, with medals and badges, awards of all kinds. A sober thought came through my mind, for this house was different. It was dark and dreary. I found the home of a soldier, once I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder. Not how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this hero, the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho on the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon, round the world, children would play, and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers, like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened, and I heard a rough voice, "Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, and my core." The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day, and all is secure." One look at my watch, and I knew he was right. "Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night."
Glory Street. Hi, this is Mary Vandeveld in the traffic department. I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I remember Christmas Eves in my house were always a special time. We all would go to church, and then we would open up one present. We could only open up one, and it was a big problem trying to figure out which one you should open. So we would shake everyone and say, oh, this one looks good. This one's a toy. This one's closed. I'm not opening this one. So it was always a good time in my house. I remember that. We'd have a nice big dinner before, and then we'd go to bed all happy and excited about waking up the next morning. So everybody have a great Christmas with your family and your friends.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away, here's the bluebird. Here to stay, here's a new bird. He sings a love song. Go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can
down when it snows. Ain't it thrilling? Though your nose get a little chilly. We'll frolic and play the Eskimo way.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob Collins. Number one, Merry Christmas. Thank you for spending some of your holiday with us today. We really appreciate that. We know you're busy, and it makes us feel like more part of your family that you're here with us.
And I'm Tom Peterson, and I'm another part of this morning program. We get up early in the day to get down here to make sure that you've got all the news and the sports and the weather and all the other things you need. And we appreciate it that you're here with us every day. Have yourself a terrific Christmas, a happy and prosperous New Year. And I mean that from all of us here on the morning show on WGN.
Merry Christmas.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even think it goes. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose is so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved it, as they shouted out with glee. They said, Rudolph, your red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Night before Christmas. Whereas, on or about the night prior to Christmas, there did occur at a certain improved piece of real property, hereinafter known as the house, a general lack of stirring by all creatures therein, including but not limited to a mouse. A variety of foot apparel, e.g. stockings, socks, etc., had been affixed by and around the chimney in said house in the hope and or belief that St. Nick, a.k.a. St. Nicholas, a.k.a. Santa Claus, hereinafter Claus, would arrive at some time thereafter. The minor residents, i.e. the children of the aforementioned house, were located in their individual beds and were engaged in nocturnal hallucinations, i.e. dreams wherein visions of confectionery treats, including but not limited to candies, nuts, and or sugar plums, did dance, cavort, and otherwise appear in said dreams. Whereupon the party of the first part, sometimes hereinafter referred to as I, being the joint owner in fee simple of the house with the parts of the second part, hereinafter Mama, and said Mama had retired for sustained periods of sleep. At such time, the parties were clad in various forms of headgear, i.e., kerchief and cap. Suddenly, and without prior notice or warning, there did occur upon the unimproved real property adjacent and appurtenant to said house, i.e. the lawn, a certain disruption of unknown nature, cause, and or circumstance. The party of the first part did immediately rush to the window in the house to investigate the cause of said disturbance. At that time, the party of the first part did observe, with some degree of wonder and or disbelief, a miniature sleigh, hereinafter the vehicle, being pulled and or drawn very rapidly through the air by approximately eight reindeer. The driver of the vehicle appeared to be, and in fact was, the previously referenced Claus. Said Claus was providing specific directions, instruction, and guidance to the approximately eight (8) reindeer, and specifically identified the animal co-conspirators by name: Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, a.k.a. Donder, and Blitzen, hereinafter the Deer. Upon information and belief, it is further asserted an additional co-conspirator named Rudolph may have been involved. The party of the first part witnessed Kloss, the vehicle, and the deer intentionally and willfully trespass upon the roofs of several residents located adjacent to and in the vicinity of the house, and noted that the vehicle was heavily laden with packages, toys, and other items of unknown origin or nature. Suddenly, without prior invitation or permission, either express or implied, the vehicle arrived at the house, and Kloss entered said house via the chimney. Said Kloss was clad in a red fur suit, which was partially covered with residue from the chimney, and he carried a large sack containing a portion of the aforementioned packages, toys, and other unknown items. He was smoking what appeared to be tobacco in a small pipe in a blatant violation of local ordinances and health regulations. Kloss did not speak, but immediately began to fill the stocking of the minor children, which hung adjacent to the chimney, with toys and other small gifts. Said items did not, however, constitute gifts to said minor pursuant to the applicable provisions of the U.S. tax code. Upon completion of such a task, Kloss touched the side of his nose and flew, rose, and or ascended up the chimney of the house to the roof where the vehicle and the deer awaited and or served as lookouts. Kloss immediately departed for an unknown destination. However, prior to the departure of the vehicle, deer, and Kloss from said house, the party of the first part did hear Kloss state and or exclaim, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night," or words to that effect.
It's all cold down along the beach. The wind's whipping down the boardwalk. And man! You guys know what time of year it is? What time? Whoa! Oh, Christmas time. You guys all been good and practicing real hard. Yeah. Clients, you've been rehearsing real hard now. So Santa, bring your new saxophone, right? Everybody out there been good or what? Oh, that's not many. You guys are in trouble out here. Yeah, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Everybody's talking about their favorite Christmas, and I guess it's kind of hard to figure the very best one, but I often think back to the time I woke up Christmas morning. It was still dark, of course, and I was very young, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and I heard what sounded like a toy electric train. And that, of course, is exactly what I'd asked Santa for, so I jumped out of bed and I found my daddy on his knees playing with the train that Santa brought me. And that train, I don't know, it was 3 cars or something like that. It wasn't a real big deal because we had almost no money, but we played, my dad and I, with that train, oh gee, all day long. It was, all these years later, still my favorite Christmas.
There's snow on the ground, and out in California, the sunshine's falling down. And maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in lights, and in Atlanta, Georgia. There's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie. It's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. The kids are out of school. There's magic in Motown. The city's on the move. In Jackson, Mississippi, to Charlotte, Carolina, all across the nation, it's a peaceful Christmas time. Christmas in Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. Fort Payne, Alabama. Merry Christmas tonight.
This was sent to me several years ago, and it's even more, I guess, meaningful to me this year since I've lost a couple of good friends. It's a great Christmas story. I don't know if it's true or not, doesn't matter, but certainly it has the potential to be true, and in any event, it's a great story. It's just a small white envelope stuck among the branches of our Christmas tree, no name, no inscription, no identification. It's peeked through the branches of our tree for the past 10 years or so. It all began because my husband, Mike, hated Christmas. Oh, not the true meaning of Christmas, but the commercial aspects of it. Overspending, the frantic running around at the last minute to get a tie for Uncle Harry and the dusting powder for Grandma. The gifts given in desperation because you couldn't think of anything else. Knowing he felt this way, I decided one year to bypass the usual shirts and sweaters and ties. I reached for something special just for my beloved husband. The inspiration came in an unusual way. Our son Kevin, who was 12 that year, was wrestling at the junior level at the school he attended. And shortly before Christmas, there was a league match against a team sponsored by an inner-city church. These youngsters, dressed in sneakers so ragged that shoestrings seemed to be the only thing holding them together, presented a sharp contrast to our boys in their spiffy blue and gold uniforms and sparkling new wrestling shoes. As the match began, I was alarmed to see that the other team was wrestling without headgear, a kind of a light helmet designed to protect the wrestler's ears. It was a luxury the ragtag team obviously could not afford. Well, we ended up just walloping them. We took every weight class. And as each of their boys got up from the mat, he swaggered in his tatters with false bravado, kind of a street pride that couldn't acknowledge defeat. Mike, my husband, seated beside me, shook his head sadly, and he said, "I wish just one of them could have won. They have a lot of potential, but losing like this could take the heart right out of them." Mike loves kids, all kids, and he knows them, having coached Little League football and baseball and lacrosse. That's when the idea for his present came. That afternoon, I went to a local sporting goods store, and I bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes, and I sent them anonymously to the inner-city church. On Christmas Eve, I placed an envelope on the tree, the note inside telling Mike what I had done, and that this was his gift from me. His smile was the brightest thing about Christmas that year and in succeeding years. For each Christmas, I followed that tradition. One year, I sent a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game. Another year, a check for a pair of elderly brothers whose home had burned to the ground the week before Christmas, and on and on and on every year. The envelopes became the highlight of our Christmas. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and our children, ignoring their new toys, would stand with wide-eyed anticipation as their dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal its contents. As the children grew, the toys gave way to more practical presents, but the envelopes never, ever lost their allure. The story doesn't end there. You see, we lost Mike last year due to dreaded cancer. When Christmas rolled around, I was so wrapped up in grief that I barely got the tree up. But Christmas Eve found me placing an envelope on the tree, and in the morning, it was joined by three more. Each of our children, unbeknownst to the others, had placed an envelope on the tree for their dad. Well, that tradition has grown, and someday will expand even further with our grandchildren standing around the tree with wide-eyed anticipation, watching as their fathers take down the envelope. Mike's spirit, like the Christmas spirit, will always be with us. May we all remember the real reason for Christmas and the true Christmas spirit this year and always.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days.
Well, thanks for being with us. Hope you enjoyed everything, and we'll see you next year. Bob Collins and the Morning Crew from WGN.
Thank you.